Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mortgage Talk with your host, Rick Montgomery. During the broadcast, you'll learn the ins and outs concerning your mortgage and how to manage your finances when owning a home. Now, here's your host, Rick Montgomery, with Mortgage Talk.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there for you. From the Douglas Bradley II office, located at 8660 Broadway, Merrillville, Indiana. We have the friendliest staff this side of heaven anxiously waiting to serve you. Your needs become our priority. We are very prompt, professional, and courteous. We will keep you informed with up-to-date information when it concerns you and your family. We specialize in tailoring our products to your unique situation. The information you choose to share with us will be kept in the strictest confidence. We look forward to growing with your family and the needs that develop. We support our customers. We will not take your business for granted. We represent State Farm, but we work very hard for you. Our team members are Agent Douglas Bradley II, Angela Harris, Deborah Murphy, Kenneth Thames. You can contact us at area code 219-756-3700. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there for you.
All right, and welcome to Mortgage Talk. Glad to be back here on Soul 106 Talk Radio, your internet radio station. Glad to be here with you guys. Oh, man, I'm telling you, a lot of different mortgage talk shows are out here, and they got some great information, and they're there, and they're making comparison to others and some of the formal shows. It's been a while before we were on. I think we were on in January the 17th, and we took some time off to you know, we have to take care of some personal issues and get our lives in order and to get ourselves back, you know, to relax and get back, tighten up some of our investments. I mean, we had to do some things, too, so we needed the time off. And then it's glad to be back here again with you guys here, to be back here on Mortgage Talk. This is Mortgage Talk. I'm Rick Montgomery, and I'm the host of this show, Mortgage Talk 1. They say always imitated but never duplicated, and we appreciate those that are following in and those that have already excelled as we're trying to catch up to them. We appreciate everyone's participation that's involved in the mortgage industry to help you, the consumer. We don't want the consumer to be confused. We want the consumer to be informed, with information that they can use, information that they will be able to help build them better in their knowledge in this industry. It's just so complex, this industry is, and so therefore we don't want our consumers that listen in to us to be confused. This is Soul 106 Talk Radio, your internet radio station, and I'm Rick Montgomery, and this is Mortgage Talk 1. I have some tips I want to talk to you about today, IRS tips. Oh, man, you never thought you'd hear me say that. IRS tips, and it's important for me to talk with you about the IRS tips. Fraud has grown immaculate. I mean, there are people out there that specialize in this time of the season. This is over a $200 billion industry, and them taking and stealing identity theft. Your identity, my identity, and many others have been included and may be the next target. You never know. So I want to bring some awareness here and probably some shocking statistics to the table just as well. In 2013, identity theft was at 290,102. Wow. Identity theft in wagers was 87,206 in 2013. Identity theft in wagers rose from 87,206 to 221,854. Identity theft itself rose from 2013. I'm talking about people that are filling out fraudulent information about you and filing taxes on your hard-earned money that you earn. and should be receiving, but they are receiving it. I'm talking about people that have gone into your garbage because you didn't use shredders to shred your information. I don't mean that straight line shredder. You really need to just get that crivity shredder that just shreds it up in just tiny, tiny, tiny bits, little pieces. It's worth you investing into, and Staples and Walmart sells them. So really, there's no excuse. Even Best Buy has them. And they may not have as many as Staples, who has a larger variety, and Walmart, who also has some variety just as well. People with fireplaces like me can take your things and burn them so you don't have to invest into a shredder, but burn them. Find a way to eliminate any type of information that can lead to people stealing your identity. Do you know that people don't necessarily go into your garbage where you live, but they invade the garbage dump areas and go into those garbage at the garbage dump area? Did you know that some people working for the garbage dump areas invade into the garbage looking for not only money and people who drop their rings and diamonds, but also looking for information for identity theft? You got to be very careful here. You really do. You really do. You really do. So identity theft from 2013 rose from 290,102. It itself rose to 332,647 in 2014. In 2014, oh man, wages was at 109 to 250. It rose from 87,206, I made an earlier error, to 109,250. And then rose from 109,250 wages and theft identity to 221,854 it rose to in 2015. Identity theft went from 332,647 to 490,220 in 2015, and is steady rising even now. People are, IRS has a system, and they're making some changes in the system. But the system was that you can steal a person's identity, and all you need is just their social security, date of birth, and their name. And you can make up a W-2 and send it in to IRS and claim taxes from it. Isn't that something? Now, the corporation itself that actually reports to IRS on your wage earnings, they are allowed to have all the documents in by March of that year. A lot of people send in the documents, and especially the theft fraudsters, some of them send it in January or February. So you have a return before IRS can have a verification on whether that is true or not. This explains why that the refunds are being issued this year and started, what was it, 2 weeks ago into February. But the bulk of it is going to be coming in March. A lot of people frown up and say, oh, my God, you know, why are they doing this? Well, now you can have a clear idea why IRS must make its stand and to try to cut and eliminate some of these theft frauds that's going on. Now, that's just the high level of the theft fraud. I haven't gotten into corporate theft fraud of white collar. I haven't gotten into that. But I want to stay on the level that you and I are on. But we do know that exists, okay? So they're dealing with that too. And that's why they have to hire outside agencies to assist and help them to grasp a better control and to help them to form a better system in servicing the returns to us. In this process, to help eliminate identity theft, has gone a little bit further. Not so much as identity itself, but theft itself. Let me say it that way. Of people claiming children that are not even theirs, or people selling their kids for those to claim. But I want to just give you some tips on IRS. I'm not no expert here, but I just want to give you some tips for IRS. Here are some warning tips for you for IRS. And I want you to know, IRS will never, ever, listen now, our IRS will never, ever call you by phone. IRS will never email you. IRS. They won't call you by phone. They won't email you. There's more to it, too. They won't advertise on social media about you or contact you through your any social media outlet, period. They do none of these forms at all. But what you can do, because here are some IRS tips, so you don't become a victim of tax fraud. Order from IRS a IRS fact sheet, a IRS fact, F-A-C-T, sheet. You can order that from them. And here are some tips. More than one tax return, you may get this in the email form. You may get this in the things that I said they don't do. Call you, contact you that way, okay? Send you some document information. And on the document information, it may say more than one tax return was filed using your SSN number. That's your Social Security number, okay? These are some tips to let you know that this could be a possible fraud. And if you get a letter like that, then what you should do is contact. And I'm going to give you some information where to contact that. But you should contact your local IRS office and find out, hey, did this come from you? Don't respond. Do not respond. Do not respond to those letters. If you owe additional tax refunds, offset, or have had collection actions taken against you, you might receive letters telling you that you owe additional money or that your tax return has been used or will be used for what you previously owed that you knew nothing about that you owe, but we need some additional personal information. IRS will never send you information asking for your personal information, asking for your financial information to be sent back to them. They will never do that. Okay? IRS records indicate that you receive wages or income from an employer that you've never heard of before. We'll need some personal information to distinguish whether that is you or not, or you could provide us with some personal information so it can help us sort this problem out for you. They will never send you a letter indicating anything like that, okay? If you feel that you are a victim or have received these types of letters and is unsure what to do, then here's what you can do. You can contact the IRS Identity Protection Specialized Unit at 800-908-4490. That's 800-908-4490. You can file an IRS identity theft and affidavit form 14039, and you can report any fraudulent activity that you believe is to the Federal Trade Commission, to your local police department to have a police report, to your local state agencies that helps monitor these type of not only the theft in your state, but also can alert or give you information to alert and take the proper steps for the federal level, okay? You can put a freeze if you're a victim by contacting the Federal Trade Commission. You can put a freeze on your credit report for all three bureaus, that no one can actually use your credit status, especially if you don't have LifeLock and some of them other places. You can do that. These are the steps that you have to do to protect you. You can do that. Put a freeze on it until you can get the situation worked out. And then you can have the freeze relinquished after you have done that and everything is back in its proper perspective. Other tips from IRS site for current news and alert on scam is, as I mentioned, suspicious email and identity theft. That's a unit by itself. And you can see here. I think that's pretty much it, though. But just some IRS tips for you on this thieving time, but should be a rejoiceful time for many. Be careful, because people are out there trying to steal your identity. They're out there trying to steal the returns that you have. So you want to be extra careful on that to make sure that you are not a victim. And if you think you are a victim, then you make the call. IRS will never call you. IRS will never call you to ask you for anything unless you guys have spoken and you said, okay, I'm going to be home in 5 minutes. Would you call me, or you call them, or they have, or you get disconnected while you're talking to them and they're returning your call back in that perspective. Okay? Other than that, they don't pick up the phone and call you and say, hey, you owe us money. Okay, they don't do that. So if you're receiving those kind of phone calls, there are fraudulent departments at IRS that you can call and get verification. Did this letter come from you? Did this email come? They don't email. So I'm telling you, you got to call and ask them that. If you got an email, that wasn't them. Okay? They don't email. They don't contact you through your social media. They don't send you nothing through your social media. They don't involve themselves in social media, period, in contacting you. And if you've been contacted through social media, that's an automatic fraud. Do not respond, okay? Now, that's my tip for the mortgage news there on IRS fraud. Let's move on here just a little bit, because we have some more information that I want to share with you just as well. Isn't that something that you got to be aware of people out there that are actually committing these type of atrocities? I mean, these people, they don't care. They just don't care. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come right back with some information, some mortgage information, and some mortgage news. So just a few minute break. Don't go away. This is Mortgage Talk. I'm Rick Montgomery. We'll be back in a moment. Job data, and here's why. Mortgage rates held steady today despite a key report from the Labor Department showing that the strongest than expert jobs creation in February of this year, technically a strong job report is bad for rates. What? This is one likely would have been bad as well, but the market got advance notice from another report earlier in the week. The MBS recap ADP armor held bonds fends off strong job reports. The ADP provided a cruel gift this Wednesday. It isn't the most trusted advice indicator of the infinity. More importantly, the NFP data put when it beat the forecast by more than 100K, the market can't help but adjust, and adjusted they did. Wednesday was the experts that came out and stated that the bond market blasted and went up. Interesting, in the bond market. When you're watching the bond market and that's going up, strong job is happening. They're saying that, hey, the real estate market itself, you know, beware, watch out. The real estate market, you got to be careful because of the real estate market. That's what they're saying. You know, with strong jobs capping, that means that the real estate market should not be doing as well as it's doing. Some say that it's not even doing that well. Interesting. On the real estate market, still more mortgage news coming up. Don't go away. We'll be back.
Thank you.
constraints on new home construction. More consumers are looking to buy a home than ever before. And while new home sales are indeed picking up, data from the U.S. Census Bureau shows that in January of this year, new home sales rate was at 5.6% higher than last year earlier. New home construction still remains well below its precession peak. Still some improvement for new homes need to be done, and still it's in place. The Republicans repeated claims that the Dodd-Frank Act has hurt consumers by rising costs and hindered credit ability, but the data doesn't back that up at all. So what are the Republicans talking about? Wow. Really, Republicans? Are you seriously saying that? Really, the Dodd-Frank Act? Now we want to attack the Dodd-Frank Act? Oh, man, what are the Republicans doing? Interesting. Man, we really have to get out to vote. We really have to get out to vote. We really have to get out to vote. We really got to take back the Senate. We really got to take back the Senate and the House. We really have to get out to vote. I'm telling you, we really have to get out to vote. Should you get a mortgage from your credit union? How about that, guys? Your credit union, and I talked about this about a couple years ago, your credit union might offer a better or great deal on a mortgage when you buy or refinance your house. Have you thought about that? Or not, you know, maybe some credit unions in your area may not offer that. There may always be a slight difference in this, in particular situations and in particular areas. Here's why you need to know about credit unions, mortgages, and how to get a lower rate no matter whom you're providing your finance from, okay? You should look into this because your credit union can offer you a lot. Or now you can join credit unions without even having a credit union to be a part of a corporation in which you are working. You can now join these independent credit unions. And they are out here in the secondary market as well as in the primary market. So don't hesitate. Go and find out while you're shopping around for a mortgage, whether it's on a refinance or whether it's on a first-time buyer type plan. Go out, not only consider some of the banks, but also consider some credit unions too. You'd be surprised on the competitive rates that credit unions can offer you, and you might even happen to like some of the rates that what credit unions are offering you. So check out your credit union. It's just my tip for today. So just check out your credit union and see what's happening. Some of the things that I mentioned earlier, mortgage rates today, March the 10th, 2017, is rising. Rates today are driven by the movement in the financial market worldwide. When the economy heats up, the bond prices drop. When you talk about strong job market, and the rates increase. When the economy pulls back, interest rates tend to fall. Get the trend? Thank you. first-time home buyers. You know, HUD offers you a pamphlet for first-time home buyers, how to purchase a new home step by step. Go to your local HUD office and pick up some information. First-time home buyers, you know, buying a home is the biggest ticket item that you will ever purchase in your life. So it is not a 1-2-3 hit. You know, even buying an automobile, that it takes time in buying cars. It takes you from 2 to sometimes 3 hours before the whole process is over in buying cars, depending upon your situation, meaning depending upon your status, depending upon your credit worthiness and income that you can prove. It takes some time in that process of buying an automobile. Well, buying a home takes that time too, but it also takes time from you. It takes time from you to do some footwork, and this is what it's called, footwork, or driving around. You're still getting out walking, footwork. Getting information from your local HUD office helps you out. Yeah, sure, your local realtor office can only provide you information about homes in the area in which you are interested in. First step that you have to do, first-time home buyers, is decide what type of style of home that you're looking for. Is it and once you pick out the particular style of home that's in your area, then you have to ask yourself this: am I looking for frame and brick, stucco, stone? Decide on the structure built of the home for what you're looking for. After you've made that decision, first-time home buyer, now the only time that you visit the realtor's office is to see what's out there in your local area. But before you go to the realtor's office, do some footwork of your own. Check out some local foreclosures that's in the area and for sale by owner homes. Get a listing of for sale by owner homes. And it's real easy because they got for sale by owners, magazines, and local newspapers that's in your area, and you can sit down and take the time and go through that and list the homes for sale by owner that's in your area. Make a few phone calls. Talk to them. People love to tell you about their house, and you can tell them, hi, I'm interested. My name is Rob Johnson, and I'm going to be in your area Wednesday. I want to know, is it okay that if I stop by? And I say, well, sure. You are selling your home. Yes, I am. Well, great. You know, I did see a picture of it, and it looks very nice. Yes, it is nice. And let them talk. They will go to tell you about the history, when they bought the home. You can find out all information just by that one phone call on the reason. And all you have to ask is just maybe 2, 3, 4 questions and let them stop. Don't interrupt them. Let them talk. Hi, why are you selling? And let them explain to you why it's done. Now, do your drive-by of a home, first-time home buyers, and assess the area, assess it during the daytime, assess it at night, and assess the property, okay? It gets you in gear. You don't have to stop in and look, not that you want to, but it gets you in gear to prepare. So when you're dealing with the professional realtor, you already know. Because let me tell you something. When you go to the professional realtor, you already been approved. You got everything in motion. You know, done your homework. So that's why professional realtor is the last place that you go, first-time home buyers, when starting out, especially when you're learning. Go to HUD office. Make it your first. Go there and get some information from HUD. HUD has listings, too, of some beautiful HUD homes that you have already made your mind up, the structure of the home, and you can get the homes right there on the listing through HUD at your local HUD office. Now, you can take that information and then take the information on for sale by owner and start putting your facts together and then start your search together. That's the proper way to learn. Now, HUD also has a first-time home buyer class to kind of teach you how to budget, how to put things together. Not saying that you're illiterate, not saying that you don't know what you're doing, but it's information to help prepare you so you don't fall victim of a foreclosure that many others have fell victim of. Nobody plans to go into foreclosure. Foreclosure just happens based off circumstances. So the HUD classes help you to be more in tune and aware of certain circumstances that could come and bite out what you worked so hard for, but also to help encourage you, to help motivate you to be able to put a program together, a budget together that can help protect your world. So it's well worth it, and get your certification, because most states requires you to have a certification of knowledge that you've been aware of the situation before you go and purchase a HUD home or before you go and purchase a home in that particular state. Remember what I talked to you about financing. Hey, don't worry about that stuff, guys. You know now that you can go to your local credit union and apply that. You want a 100% financing course or you want a 100% financing program? Let me tell you about it. It's called the USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture, has one of the best programs equal to VA than any other program out there. I don't care who they are, what they are. If they got a program similar to the VA program, they're emulating the VA program. Always emulated, but never duplicated. I'm going to tell you just like it is. But here's some of the restraints on the USDA. It must be in a rural area, and it must be in a USDA claim area. Rural area is not necessarily country area, even though it's nice and peaceful, but rural area can also be certain city level areas too. So do your homework diligently. You can always type in, go on the USDA website, type in the zip code, and they'll let you know whether that is part of the USDA property. So you want to go USDA to get 100% of the loan. What does that mean, Rick? Well, that means that if you have chosen your home, first-time home buyers, now you want to get your finance in order. So now you go to the USDA website, and you see all of the banks that's associated with the USDA that will offer you the USDA loan. But first, you're able to read information about the USDA, bring about a clear understanding, and you can also go to blogtalkradio.com/mortgagetalk1 and click on and scroll down and find the USDA that we talked about that'll help bring you up to speed. And then go to the site and then read what the USDA is all about. That brings about a clarity of understanding, and then now you, when you're contacting the banks that are on the site from the USDA, you know what program that you're asking for. I don't want to hear about your program. I want the USDA program, the program that I know that brings about 100%. Well, what's your credit score? Maybe I can have another program. Listen, Mr. Loan Officer, I'm not calling to debate with you. Can you help me or can you not help me? Or can you plug into someone that can help me with a USDA loan? That's what you want. Stand firm in your square. Don't be so gullible and open to all kinds of other stuff. You've already made your mind up. You want the USDA loan. Stand firm in your square for the USDA loan. It is one of the best loans out there. I don't care what nobody says. 95% loan, 97% loan. It's one of the best loans out there. It brings 100% of the sale price money to the table and also incur closing costs just as well. Did you hear what I just said? So you want something that can work for you. Isn't that wonderful? USDA has two USDA direct loans for those that have good and solid credit, and then it has it for people that have challenged credit. There's a program that can assist you and become your partner in buying a house for you. So even if you don't make a lot of money, maybe you work at Walmart, not picking on you. Maybe you work at McDonald's, not picking on you. But if you make it $10,000, $12,000, you can still purchase your dream house with the USDA. Why don't you contact the local USDA office? Well, actually, just go to USDA.gov and get some information on the process of how you can apply for a United States USDA loan. I guarantee you one thing, you won't be sorry. It is a great 100% loan. Now, not nothing away from FHA. FHA still has always been the hottest of the hot and still is the hottest. 97% of the loan being brought to the table on the FHA, 3% down plus closing costs is what you have to occur. Not bad at all. So you can always qualify through HUD. And I'm encouraging you to do exactly that. Yes, I see the time ticking. And I'm encouraging you to do exactly that. Qualify to your local HUD office. Contact them. Contact the HUD process, too, so you know, because they have listing lenders, too, and you can go and you can apply for an FHA loan. VA people know what to do under VA, and they know how to go to apply for a VA loan. So now you can know where to go to apply for an FHA loan. It's good for my first-time home buyers to educate yourself and to be strong. Oh, send a whole lot of information. Yes, it may seem like a lot of information on you coming to you all at one time, but I'm gonna tell you something. Prepare yourself, okay? And I guarantee the journey will be exciting. The journey will be fun because you're going to make it fun. This is your world you're building. So how come it's not fun to you? How come it's not exciting to you? How come you're not tickled pink about it? It's your world that you can make fun, and you can take your time in the process of making it. Yeah, you may have some friends that are just excited for you and they want to hurry and rush you into it, but you don't want to rush into anything. You want to take your time because maybe they have already been prepared, and they was prepared because they had, because it was in your spot maybe a year ago, but not, or 6 months ago, or 3 months ago, or 1 month ago. But you can get into the same level that they're on right now. It depends on the time invested that you have to put in. This is not a one-year process, so stop telling yourself it takes you a year to learn all this. That's a bunch of bull crap, okay? You are procrastinating. Stop telling yourself it takes 6 months for you to be prepared. That's a bunch of bull crap. Stop procrastinating. Been on your job for 3 years? Okay. Have a bank account, checking and savings. Have some cash reserve money laying around that you can get your hands on. I bet you got those 2-3 credit cards that you're shopping around on. Have a car loan that's under your control. Have good credit. And now you want it, but you're tired of paying that high rent because you're living in a safer area, and that's the way you want to be because you feel good about that area and feel good about the apartment from which you live. But you're paying over $1,400 to $1,800 or even more. And you can pay far less by owning your own home. Well, it's the time that you invested into obtaining the information is what's going to help you reach your destination sooner. You put little time in, then it's going to take you some time. It may take that year time. You put the time invested in properly, you can have this information locked, loaded, and done within a couple of weeks' time. And if your time doesn't require that, and if you want those people that, hey, I gotta walk through this, it may be easy for you, Rick, but I gotta walk through this, well, then walk through it. Walk at your pace. I'm not telling you to not walk at your pace, but if you are snail crawling, then you're procrastinating, okay? I don't care what you say. If you're snail crawling, you are procrastinating. You're bullshitting yourself, and you're wasting qualified people's time. I'm telling you, stop doing that. But if you're serious, you know what you're doing, and you're going to learn the information, and you're going to gain the information, and if it takes you 30 days to do it, it shouldn't take you past 30 days to learn all that you need to know about being a first-time home buyer and qualifying and passing the certification class offered by HUD. HUD has a slew of information there. When you walk out that HUD office with the documentation that HUD has, trust me when I tell you, you are definitely going to be very much in tune and astute to what is going on and how you can operate in your first time traveling in this circle to obtain a real estate property. I'm not saying it's going to make you no expert, but it's definitely going to bring about a stronger clarity of understanding when you leave that HUD office, especially completing that HUD class. Now, doing information on your own together makes you solid and whole. Now when you meet that professional realtor, you don't need to look at about no more than 5 to 6 properties max. And out of that 6 properties that you're looking at, you will find the home of your choice. It should not take another 6 or another 6, then you're bullshitting yourself and wasting a professional's time. Just want to keep it real with you. But enjoy this. This is an exciting moment for you to buy. And if you're one of these nervous people that when you get new information, it takes time to process it, and you get so nervous and you get scared because you think people are trying to horse tie you, and so now you got to tell yourself, I gotta go at a snail pace. Okay, everybody don't retain or receive information the way other people do. And whether you want to admit it or not, you are a slow person that takes time to download information. Now, I don't mean that in a negative form, because everybody must do things at their pace. And if that's your pace, well, then take your pace, because your pace may take 2 months to be ready, whereas the norm is about a month or less. Well, if your pace takes 2 months, then take the 2 months. I'm just saying that if you're telling me your pace takes 6 months, then you are a liar and you are procrastinating. I'm going to keep it real, whether you like it or not. But if it takes your pace and you have to go at that pace, then by all means do so. If you had accidents or if you had cancer and you had to go to chemotherapy and you're recovering from that, these are different circumstances, people. I'm not talking to you guys, okay, because you are already rebuilding back inside. You're already rebuilding back on a stress mental level. So your pace is going to be a little slower. It got nothing against your knowledge. It got nothing against your comprehension. Your pace is going to be a little slow. So it may take you 4 months. May even take you 5. These are unexpected circumstances that people may be in. It may take that time for you to be able to feel comfortable in the knowledge that you have retained and able to now move forward feeling comfortably that you are much stronger than what you were when you first started, and that it's unlikely that you'd be taken advantage of, then I applaud you by saying take your pace, take your time, and get it right, okay? Those are just circumstances. When I say 6 months, I'm talking about those people that don't have this kind of unfortunate issue and problems. I'm talking about those people that wasn't involved into no major accident where they are really trying to remember and coming back to their own self. It's going to take time if you are victimized in those points. I'm talking about the everyday John Doe and John Jane that are not like that. Okay, they just out there and they tell them, I don't know, are you ready? No, I don't think we're ready. I mean, we don't quite understand some of this stuff, but I don't think we're ready. We ain't ready, you know, we're gonna wait 6 months, we're gonna wait another year. No, you're not ready. You're not ready. Don't waste people's time when you're not ready. Don't go see realtors when you're not ready. I just told you how to prepare yourself for a professional realtor. Don't waste their time. These people make money off commission, and these people are professionals, and they don't like having their time wasted. You wouldn't like it if someone used you for nothing, wasting time. I'm just looking. Fine, look. You don't need film to look. I just told you how to put things together so you can look. So don't waste professional people's time. Don't waste professional mortgage brokers' time, okay? When you're ready to go, you're ready to go. You don't need anybody to tell you when you're ready to go. You know when you're ready to go. When you're ready to start, when you're ready to get started, then go get started. And you got professional people out there that love and will welcome you and will help you to get you started. Remember, local credit unions now, you don't have to, they're not part of a corporation anymore, so you don't have to be a member. But go join them now, even if you're not ready. But join them right now. Have a bank account with a local credit union. Okay, take out a loan, you know. Get an automobile loan with them. Get a personal loan with them. Establish yourself with them. Establish yourself with a bank just as well. Work on your credit. Get that together. Make sure your scores are up. Remember, FHA is a non-credit score driven, but however, qualifier through certain banks, and they may want to see you in the six before they want to offer you an FHA loan. Others don't. So don't be alarmed if you find one bank wants you to have this and another bank doesn't. It's at the stipulation of that bank, okay? Just want to keep your brisk on how it's flowing. But you can enjoy yourself in this market and have your home and enjoy your home. Investors are doing it constantly, okay? I wish you the best. Thank you guys so much. You are wonderful, and I appreciate you wholeheartedly. And I appreciate you for being here on Mortgage Talk. Yeah, glad to be back intact with the team. Glad to be here. Glad to talk to you guys one more time. It is my honor and my pleasure to be back here. I'm going to continue to do some researching on bringing back more information in the mortgage industry. You know the industry I love so much as be a part of. Also, we do auto info to talk to you about buying a car just as well. Going to give you some insights on buying cars too, so don't be alarmed. We're going to have a car section called Auto Info, make it a part of Mortgage Talk where I give you certain tips on car buying, okay? So I'm going to do that. So here's a car buying tip for you today. Yes, it does take anywhere from 2 to 3 hours for certain people to purchase cars. A-bond credit people, that means people that got 800 credit scores and higher, it will take them probably about an hour to go in and to purchase a car. A lot of times they like to have their stuff pre-done. Pre-done simply means that you got to think like an educated consumer, which is what? The best customer. Educated consumers seek out their own financing prior to entering into a dealership. Okay? It will take time for a dealer to find the right kind of financing for you, and they have all the tools there to do so. Just wanted to just let you know. But an educated consumer, the best customer, will automatically go and have themselves pre-qualified. Here's where you find a non-educated consumer, the one that goes to the dealership and says, and take the salesman time, look at a car, and now the salesman ready to take an application or ask the salesman about a particular car, and the salesman shows them that particular car, test drives them in that particular car. Now the salesman is back ready to see can he get you qualify, and then you come and say, "Oh, I'm gonna go through my credit union." Okay, you could have did that from the first entry. Walk into a dealership. "Hi, Mr. Salesman, I'm gonna go through my credit union. I need a buyer's order. I'm interested in the Chevy Malibu. Okay, may I see that Chevy Malibu?" Sure, because they have it right there on the showroom floor. You can go on the showroom floor and get all the information off that vehicle that you need right there, or he or she can print you information off that particular vehicle. Is it okay? Can I test drive the vehicle? Of course you can test drive the vehicle. Let's take you for a test drive on the vehicle. Now you're done with the test drive, let me get you your buyer's order. Let's keep this thing moving and not wasting unnecessary time of that salesman. Remember, he makes his money off commission. He's not on a salary there. So let's not be wasting that salesman's time. Let's get what we need to get. Thank you for the buyer's order and walk on out of the door. Instead, you're non-educated. Consumer goes in there, wastes the salesman time, talking about all kinds of other stuff unrelated, wants the salesman to give him a crash course on the type of financing that you have there. There's not a simple crash course. How about let us get you qualified, and then if you want to go and make a comparison, you can. Well, I don't want my credit to be ran. Well, how is the salesman going to qualify you if your credit is not ran? Let's keep this thing real. That's a non-educated speaking consumer. That's a wasted time consumer. Let's not do that to the professional people out here. Let's become an educated consumer, the best customer. An educated consumer will automatically have went and got pre-qualified through their credit union already or through their bank. They already know what rate they're going to get, and they just have to go and just pick out a car. They have to go, and all they need is just a buyer's order. Let me test drive this car. You test out the car, you like the car, you got a buyer's order from that dealership. Don't go around and collect buyer's orders. Okay, again, here goes a non-educated consumer going around collecting buyer's orders from 6-7 dealerships. Come on, it's a brand new car. Prices is not going to change within those brand new cars, all right? Go ahead, pick a dealership. If you want to pick one, you want to pick two, no more than that, and then go to the dealership, look at the car, look at the price on the car. Get the feel of that dealership. If you like the atmosphere and where you are, get the buyer's order and give them the business when you come back. Don't take their buyer's order and then go to another dealership. Once again, here we go. Waste of time. Let's not do this. Let's not do them like that. Let us become better consumers by going in, looking at what we want, test driving what we want, and then, because we're already being pre-qualified, give me a buyer's order, take it back to my bank or my credit union. They'll approve it. They'll give me the documentation to bring to the dealership and a check. Let me go to that salesman that was nice enough to help me and give that salesman the business and drive up out of there in my car. Okay? That's the proper way to buy. That is my car tip for you when you're purchasing cars at a dealership. Let's be mindful that these people are out here too, and they make their money off commission. And not all the time. In your mind, you may think it's a healthy one, but you're working their behinds off for $50 or $100 or maybe even $200. That's okay. You know, you say that's okay about them working their butts off, but let's not give them extra duty to do that they don't have to. Let's not waste that time, because that time wasted is my time being wasted too, consumer. So don't waste their time and don't waste your time, because time wasted is my time, meaning I'm you. I'm wasting my time there too, wasting their time. Let's not do that. Let's not waste time. Nobody has time to be wasted like this. Let's keep it fun. Let's keep it moving, and let's move on. If you don't like the salesman, if you don't like what's happening there, shut it down. See you later. Thank you for your car, and move on. Okay? Maybe it's another salesman that you may like, or maybe it's another dealership. Go there. Check it out. You like what you see. You're comfortable in the atmosphere. You hear everybody having fun buying cars. Now, yeah, this is where I want to buy a car. Okay. Sit down, see what you can get, give me the buyer's order, blah, 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 and then go get qualified or take it back and then come back and give that dealership your business. Proper way to buy, you'll feel less stressful and make your time there less, and you'll be out of there quicker. Now, here's another tip that I want to give you. Credit Karma is a nice place to go to check your credit. It's good to look at. But Credit Karma is an LLC corporation, okay? Credit Karma does not have all the answers. And some people read it and didn't quite understand what they read. Now, me personally, I strongly recommend you to go to TransUnion, Equifax, and Experience and get the information from them. Understanding when your credit is poor. You're not going to go to no financial institution and they're not going to pull your credit, but they're going to give you money. That makes you look very, very strange. In other words, let's cut through the chase, it makes you look stupid. You're sitting there and here you want to apply for a loan, but then you want to tell them about your credit, but I don't want my credit pulled because you're going to bring my score down. That tells that individual I'm looking at a non-educated consumer because they told me the most stupidest stuff that came out of their mouth. Okay? Your scores drop on a multitude of inquiries. You don't want to have too many inquiries in a month. It takes you about 10 inquiries before you start filling it in 1 month's time. And you don't want to accumulate a lot of inquiries, too. That's where you have to do the footwork as to be that educated consumer. Well, the footwork goes in real simple. The average consumer that purchases their automobile usually go online, browse through the dealerships, and choose two dealerships. Then they enter into one and get the feel, the atmosphere, et cetera, as I mentioned earlier, and until they find one out of the two that they have. This is the one I'm going to do business with, and they go ahead on and they complete the transaction of the business. They know that if this dealership is going to obtain finance for me, they need to pull my credit history. Okay? Now, the dealership itself will send you over to the first three, and usually you should have an approval. If you don't have an approval by the first three, you know why, because you either have some repos or you have a repo, or you had a bad payment history in paying an automobile, you got a bad credit history in paying other debts, you got a bad credit history in loans, so now they got to send you through the next rebatch. And maybe the next rebatch turns you down. Now, the dealer's not going to waste a lot of time with you either. They're not going to send you to all of the finance companies that they have. They're just not. Okay, what they do is in their system, they'll click it on and say, let's send to the first three or the first five. It goes out. And then they make judgments off that. And if they based off any additional information that you bring to the table that they say, oh, okay, well, it was some of the steps that these people declined it on. It's just that they need more money. And now you just brought me back to the table that you have the ability to earn more money because you didn't think that you needed to report the job that you had because you felt that you had enough income on the table. Now you find out that you didn't have enough income on the table to try to obtain the vehicle that you're trying to buy. You need more income. So now you come out of your pocket, okay, I do have this other two-year job here. I didn't think that I need to tell you about. But now you told. But that becomes what was missing. So now they may go and say, okay, I can't send you back to the others that have declined you, but I will call them and see can I rehash with them. And the first thing that the lenders want to know is why did they hold back? You know, what was the holdback? Why didn't they tell you all this information up front? They're going to find that individual to be untrustworthy because you held back some information, okay? You don't want to establish that in the eyes of some of these lenders because they're people too, and this is how they think. So now you got to go through another lender, okay, that did buy you. So the first five turned you down, and number six bought you. Well, you know as well as I do that they're going to pull your credit report too. Okay? Save yourself all that. If I don't want my credit pulled all those times, then I need to come clean. Give all information up front, all financial information up front. Make sure that I be honest. Don't sit there and hide information. You know you got a repo. You know you are in an open chapter 13. You know you need a letter from the trustee to even buy. You know you're in an open 7. You know for a fact that you paid that last car so badly until they told you on the phone they'll never buy you again. That's why you walked through the door saying, I don't deal with the lender that I already had on my old car, even though it's paid for. Be honest. So they have all detailed information up front. When you buy a home, you have to be honest. So be honest with yourself. Be honest with the person that's trying to help you, that salesman, so they can tailor and structure the deal so they can get you done. That's going to save you less inquiries. When you try to be hideful, hiding different things, I ain't going to tell nothing. They'll find out for themselves if they can find out. Okay, non-educated consumer. Now here you come talking about, man, I got all these inquiries on my credit. Yeah, but what did you do when you walked into that dealership? Were you open? Yeah, I was open and honest. You're a liar. You was not open and honest. You was very deceitful. And they have to find out information after information. Because, see, the dealer's not going to know everything, but that lender is going to investigate a little bit more. Lender's going to find out some things. And they're going to ask the question, what happened to this open car that you co-signed on? What happened to this car that you had 8 years ago, okay, but you defaulted on that loan? What are you talking about? I ain't got no car on my credit right now. What are you talking about? No, you got no car on a TransUnion. No. Didn't the car show up on a Equifax, but it showed up on Experience? Do you think the lender is not going to pull a full credit history on you now? And in today's time right now, that's what they do. It's like the mortgage industry. They pull a full credit on you. That's what we call a tri-merger. Automobile industry are now pulling tri-mergers too. Okay? They're really trying to lower the repo ratio. So they figure we got to pull and get a better history of the individual that we want to loan money to. So guess what? Tri-merger has been done. You just don't hear them use that term, and you don't hear them tell you. Because some do and some don't. But this is why. So be honest. Be fruitful with information. And that will cut down on that dealer sending you to 6, 7, 8 places to try to get you done. They want to try to please you. And they'll send you to as many places as they think they can to please you, which will bump up all of those inquiries. And you don't want all of those on your credit. So be honest and truthful with them. You'll save yourself a lot of heartaches and a lot of heart pain and all those inquiries. And if you have bad credit, you have a 440 score, and you're trying to get into a second chance program to get a car, trust me when I tell you, you're probably going to be shipped off to anywhere from 8 to 10 different lenders before one will buy you. Okay? Don't come in there and start talking about no inquiries. What's it going to hurt? You haven't even started rebuilding your credit yet. That car is going to be the beginning of you to rebuild your credit. So that's not quicker on those inquiries when you are in that kind of position and you're trying to obtain a car so you can continue to go on your job. You know it's going to take some time to get you done. So some inquiries is going to be needed. And just my tip to you as an educated consumer, the best customer, to be the best that you can be. And that's my auto tip for you for today, Sunday. I'll see you next Sunday right here on Mortgage Talk. I appreciate you guys so much. You know I do. And even though we are signing off always differently, hey, it's a new show. It's 2017. I'm Rick Montgomery. Thank you for listening to Mortgage Talk. Six Talk Radio, your internet radio station, proudly to bring to you Mortgage Talk. Mortgage Talk will return next Sunday at 11:30. Thank you for listening to Mortgage Talk 1. It's hosted by Rick Montgomery, and he'll see you next week with some good information. Stay tuned for the post, and thank you for listening to Soul 106 Talk Radio, your internet radio station.